Voices of VR podcast.
Hello, my name is Kent Bai, and welcome to the Voices of VR podcast. It's a podcast that looks at the structures and forms of immersive storytelling and the future of spatial computing. You can support the podcast at patreon.com/voicesofvr. So in today's episode, I have a conversation with Chip Giller and Amy Seidenworm of Agog. There's currently an open call that Agog is doing. It's their first open call. It's inviting immersive creators to submit a proposal for climate futures and immersive media, and anywhere from like $25,000 to $200,000 grant to push forward some of these ideas of how to use immersive media to bring about some sort of meaningful change when it comes to climate change and these climate futures. So we're covering all that and more on today's episode of the Voices of VR podcast. So this interview with Amy and Chip happened on Monday, June 1st, 2026. So with that, let's go ahead and dive right in.
Well, Kent, it's great to be here. I am Chip Giller. I'm the executive director and co-founder of Agog. We're a philanthropic organization that helps people use XR to imagine and build a better world.
And I'm Amy Seidenworm. I'm the chief of programs and strategy at Agog. And I agree with Chip on what we do.
Nice. So maybe you could each give a bit more context as to your background and your journey into working with XR.
I am the founder also of the climate news organization GRIST, GRIST.org, which I founded in 1999. And, you know, on the surface, it might seem like a big leap from climate journalism to immersive media. But Kent, to me, the through line is pretty direct. It's pretty clear. So like broadly, I've spent about three decades thinking about how we communicate urgent issues in ways that really reach people, that genuinely reach people. And one of the hardest things about climate communications is that people can understand something intellectually, but still feel pretty distant from it emotionally. I had my first experience with immersive media, you know, one of the early Oculus headsets, maybe in 2014 or 2015. And it felt like a curiosity to me at that time. But over time, and especially during COVID, I really began to see a real opportunity to use these tools to connect people across issues, across cultures and geographies. And my co-founder, Wendy Schmidt, who's an incredible philanthropist and also a former journalist, we really began exploring immersive media together. And what struck us was how differently people talked about these experiences versus reading an article or watching a film. They weren't just describing content they'd consume, but they were describing something that they had lived through or participated in. And so that shift from information to, I guess I would say, experience felt really powerful to us. And that led to the founding of Agog. As you know more than anyone, immersive storytelling can put people inside the story or almost allow people to encounter another person's perspective in ways that traditional media can't really. So we became interested in how or what might happen if more creators and nonprofits and educators and advocates had access to immersive media tools. So that's why we founded Agog. And as I said, we support people using XR to help others feel more connected to each other and the world around them, and really to the possibility of positive change. That was a long explanation about how I got to this space, but I just wanted to be thorough.
No, that was perfect. Thank you.
For a long time, I've kind of been the person thinking about how to put technology in unexpected places. I started my career in the music business and was kind of like a nerd in a creative field who kind of could bridge the gap between creative people and people who were good with technology. Ultimately, ended up at the LA Philharmonic running their digital initiatives, and again, was trying to kind of demystify technologies to creative people there. And that's where I created my first VR piece and then went on to run the VR for Good initiative at Meta, Oculus then, and then very, very briefly started a consultancy where I was doing that kind of work with cultural institutions who were thinking about dipping their toes into technology. But I met Chip early on and was really excited about this vision. So here I am.
Nice. Well, I guess it's been about 3 years or so since Agog has been out on the scene. And we're going to be talking today a lot around the open call, the first open call that Agog is doing. But maybe we could do a bit of a recap of all the different things that, I mean, not everything that Agog is doing, but maybe just like a story of the different types of things that Agog has already been doing and investing and supporting. I see Agog on a lot of the different festivals, studies, there's these different initiatives. We're going to be diving into the open call today, but I just want to get a table set as to what's been going on with the GOG over the last number of years.
Yeah. So we launched at South by Southwest in 2024. So it's been approaching, I guess, 2.5 years. And, you know, I guess maybe our thesis for the first couple months was a little naive in thinking that there was like the primary need was perhaps that there needed to be more content around XR for good, XR for social change. But very quickly, as we step more into this space, we realized, and I say this maybe with a bit of hubris, that the bigger need was to help bolster, support, nurture a field of people who are have this focus and to grow this field around XR for good. And so, yes, it's supporting the creation of particular experiences, but I think more it's welcoming new creators to the space, introducing nonprofits to the power, mission-based organization to the power of these tools. So we provide grants. We've provided about $6.5 million of grants so far, some of it to individual experiences, but as much to, like you mentioned, the immersive impact review that we've supported that IXA, which is a coalition of universities, including University of Nebraska, University of Texas, many universities. So we've helped to stand up a peer-reviewed journal in this space. How can you measure impact, for example? How can we think about distribution, which is such a central concern? We've also, we're preparing our second lab for about 15 creators who are new to this space. Our first one we did in the fall with ASU, with Nani de la Peña's part of ASU. This is with New Inc. and NYU is participating. We're going to be using for a couple of days next week in New York, their facility at the Brooklyn Navy Yard. We'll be doing a third lab later this year. We've also created the AGOG Immersive Impact Award at South by Southwest. Amy, you can jump in with things we've done, but I would say, Kent, broadly, like we're about helping to support, and as I said, nurture a field of practitioners who give a shit, who give a damn, who want to see change happen in the world.
Yeah. I think one of the things I'm super excited about too is being able to fund organizations who fund work versus always being focused on like one piece. So we're working with Indigenous Screen Office, and you know they're based in Canada. They've only been able to support Canadian Indigenous filmmakers who are interested in getting into immersive technology or Canadian creators. And so this allows American Indigenous creators to also take part in their funding and their programs. And then also similarly, we work with Black Public Media on their Pitch Black event and supporting creators in that community. So those are, I think, are also excited. And for us, a better way maybe to support a broad creator community than just focusing on us funding a piece, which also is going to happen. And then...
And you could talk about our residencies too, Amy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we did the residency with Phi, and we I believe applications are still open for the Phi Immersive Residency coming up. Yeah, that was a really exciting one. And Mira, I mean, the amount of skill brought into her project and the amount, as impressive as it was for a 3 to 4 week residency, was pretty incredible. And we're excited to see like people really foster their relationships and skills with labs like that. Another thing that's really important to us on the field building side is to preserve work that we think is really great. So, Kent, I'm sure you're familiar with the Journey Back trilogy that East City Films made with Illinois Holocaust Museum, and we've funded them to port that over to Quest and to Galaxy XR to make it available on many platforms widely. And also the Book of Distance with Randall Okita, well, that piece will also be available. But we're super open to making sure that important work is available as possible.
Nice. One other thing that I was personally involved with was a GOG funded IFA Doc Lab and had commissioned me to do a report on a 121-page report on the IFA Doc Lab think tank, which was sort of a bit of a manifesto of indie XR distribution that I think is happening right now. So thank you for that. But also these other research studies that you're also supporting to be able to quantify to some degree the extent to which that XR can actually bring about meaningful impact in the world. So, and I have a conversation with May Abdallah, which will be diving a bit more into some of the recent results of that that's been published But maybe it's good to turn to the open call that Agog is having, because this is the first big open call that Agog is having. And so maybe just kind of give a bit of an overview of the topic and the timeline. June 12th is coming up here soon, but maybe just give a bit of a context for this first open call that Agog is doing.
Yeah, totally. So we're super excited about this. This represents, I guess, you know, it's a part of two important milestones for us. I mentioned first, we've now hit $6.5 million in grants distributed over our first 2 years, supporting creators and nonprofits and projects across the XR for Good ecosystem. Those were all invite only. So as you just said, second, we've just launched our first open call for proposals, committing up to $1 million in new funding for immersive climate storytelling. So the open call is around climate change. So really, I think behind this is our thinking that we need more perspectives, more storytellers, more nonprofits, more communities helping shape what immersive media becomes. And we need more people telling their stories through immersive media. So the open call is really a welcome. We want to hear from creators and mission-based organizations, including people who may be wholly new to XR, but who have powerful ideas about climate storytelling and public engagement. And importantly, we're not looking just for the most technically sophisticated projects. We're interested in work where immersive adds real value, where the medium is doing something that the story couldn't otherwise accomplish. And, you know, as I mentioned earlier, my whole career has been spent in the climate space, the climate storytelling space. And so much of climate communications understandably focuses on catastrophe. We're interested in something different, projects that help people feel connected to a future that doesn't suck, a future people can still shape, work that gives people agency alongside awareness. And Amy, maybe you have some more color to add to that, but we want to be welcoming to both creators who've had years of experience with immersive and folks, including nonprofits, who are curious and see the opportunity of the space and want to dive in.
Yeah, and we're definitely open to ideas versus, you know, something that's fully storyboarded out or, you know, technically, all the boxes are checked. And some of these projects will end up being, I think, R&D investments, where we give people the time and funds to explore an idea. And maybe, you know, once we funded people, we can help matchmake with technical folks in the field. But we're also seeing already a whole bunch of people connecting on our Discord, where people who are good at production are just saying, we're really interested in this. If there's anybody who has an idea, or you're a nonprofit and you need advice on how to budget or how to plan, you know, and people are pairing off and talking. It's very exciting.
And so in terms of brass tacks, we're going to be giving out a series of grants in the $25,000 range all the way up to the $200,000 range. And we're interested in projects at all stages of the life cycle, from early prototyping to helping to complete a project. The deadline is the stroke of 11:59 Pacific on June 12th. So the deadline's coming up. There are office hours that people can sign up for, and we really encourage people to join our Discord if they have particular questions. But people can learn more at agog.org, agog.org.
We also have a info session on Wednesday on Zoom. We did one virtually in Agog House, which is our gathering space in the virtual world, but we have a Zoom session on Wednesday at 10 Pacific that you can sign up for if people want to ask questions live or hear other people's questions. Yeah. And you can email grants@agog.org if you want to sign up for office hours with our grants team.
Yeah. And there's also VR chat info session that's online that I watched through. And there was this slide that said that climate communication can often feel technical, abstract, or overwhelming, and immersive media creates emotional proximity, embodiment, and connection. And so just curious to hear a little bit around if you've seen other projects that you think do a really great job, even experiences that you've had that don't necessarily have to be connected to climate change, but it's great if you've seen paradigmatic examples out there. In my talk that I gave at the Meaningful XR over the weekend, there was like Fierce Compassion / Operation Aspen, which was a 360 video that showed kind of infiltrating into a factory farm of chickens in cages, and they showed the living conditions of the cages. And after I watched that piece, I was like, wow, there are a lot of things that are out of sight, out of mind of my consumer decisions that I'm making that totally. It actually changed my behavior. I went out and I stopped buying anything other than cage-free eggs after I watched that. Because it was like that little amount of money, I saw the conditions, and something that was previously out of sight, out of mind, was now in my sight and in my body in a way that I felt like I was bearing witness to something. And so I feel like I've had that experience of having those visceral embodied experiences within an XR piece that actually led to my behavior change. And so I'm just curious to hear reflections that you've seen of some of these paradigmatic examples of XR experiences that have been meaningful or impactful for you.
I think Winslow Porter's Forager and Tree both do that really well. They're not necessarily optimistic pieces, but you go through the life of a tree and you go through the life of a mushroom. And I felt very connected to the places where those they grew and died. And I was really sad when I died as a mushroom, and made me think about all the living things around me in the natural world in a way that I hadn't before. So I think both those pieces really do a great job.
I agree. I mean, Forager gives you a sense of like there's this whole world underground that many people are otherwise. I mean, it was such a powerful experience. For me, one of the most powerful things I've done is a rendering of the overview effect, which is a term that's been used to describe what astronauts experience when they leave the Earth's atmosphere and look back on the planet. And this is a really powerful experience in VR chat, which you can do with 5 or 10 or 15 others. You know, you start floating above a city, almost like a Vancouver-like city, and then you go through almost like a Himalayan mountain. You start floating up through the atmosphere, and then you go through the atmosphere, and then you look back and you can see the planet Earth. And it's just, I've done it numerous times, and it just connects you to the planet in a really profound way and to the set of people with whom you're doing the experience. And so I love that that's a social VR thing. There's something really concrete is that we've supported an experience, an AR experience placemaking project in Portland, Oregon, called Postcards. I think it's called Postcards from Our Resilient Future. And it's bringing to life this will sound super wonky, but they're trying to make it less heady. It's bringing to life sort of the county's climate plan, where you get to experience, if this plan were enacted as envisioned, this is what this environment might feel like. So I think it shows up at bus stops, at other civic places where you scan something with your phone and up will pop what the world might be like in 10 or 15 years. So that's a cool experience. It's by the Creative and Emerging Technology Institute in Portland, which goes by SETI, I think.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Nice to see the link there. I'll check that out. So I guess one of the questions I have is around like a theory of change in terms of people see a piece and then what happens. You know, I look to say Lawrence Lessig, where he talks around these different socioeconomic dials you can turn in terms of the changing the culture, changing the behaviors of individuals, and then eventually changing the laws and the policy level. And then there's the level of the economics and what the companies are doing and their behavior change that needs to happen that can be driven by changes in the laws. And then for Lessig, he's talking about technological architecture and code. And I think it's a little bit less around like, we're not trying to, you know, create XR to directly impact climate change, but it's more around, I think, probably lower level of changing behaviors, maybe having policy decisions, and then looking at the economic players that are some of the worst offenders of pollution. And so when you think around the theory of change in XR, do you have a sense of like projects that are like working at each of those levels of potentially having individual change, having policy change, and then having some way of dealing with how to wrangle in what these companies are doing?
Yeah, that's a great question, man. I think what we're asking with the open call is that those who are applying for support have a clear theory of change and have a real sense of the audience that they're trying to reach and how they're going to reach those audience and then what outcomes they're seeking. I think we're interested sort of across that gamut you just suggested, from consumer change to ultimately societal political change. But what we're asking is that applicants come with a clear theory of change. Having been in the communication space my whole life, I know that sometimes there's a little bit of a leap of faith and it's hard to show exact causality from an experience, a piece of content, to direct change in the world. But it's important to have some sense of, even if it's qualitatively how you're measuring impact, have some sense of how you're going to measure impact. But it's sometimes hard to show quantitative. And so I want to, anyone listening who wants to apply for the open call, we know that it's not going to be like your team produces something and the world utterly shifts overnight. But we're asking for like, hey, what, how will you gauge some impact? And it might be through surveys. It might be through partnerships. But it's important to have some sense of the audience you're trying to reach. Do you have anything to add to that, Amy?
Just that it might also be showing the piece to policymakers. I think that that's something that, especially if nonprofit organizations are involved, you know, is a real way to make change pretty quickly and directly.
Mm. Yeah, I know the UN has had a number of pieces over the years that they've shown to different diplomats and leaders around the world. Yeah. Just a few more questions to wrap up. One is that there's the themes and areas of interest that I just want to read through: the climate storytelling and civic participation, planetary connection, community power and resilience, future building and world design, access and equity, and then your brilliant ideas. And so I feel like there's a speculative futures aspect, which is exciting that you're kind of open to, but also this idea of revitalizing civic society, of having group participations. And for me personally, I think a lot around, there's a paradigm shift of moving from more reductive materialism into more process relational, but basically how do we be in more relationship to the world around us, more of a relational ontology. And so I feel like that XR can do all those different types of paradigm shifts of how do we actually relate to the world around us and be in right relationship to the world, which I think is kind of the core of what you're getting at. But I'd love to hear any other reflections of the themes and areas of interest of the different topics that you are interested in for people diving into.
Yeah, I mean, just to touch on those. So these, it's important to say your brilliant idea is welcome, but some categories, just to build on what you just said, Kent, we came up with, were what we mean by climate storytelling and civic participation is really place-based immersive experiences that help people understand at a guttural level climate change and then hopefully inspire meaningful forms of civic engagement and collective action. By community power and resilience, we were thinking about, you could imagine using these tools to develop resources that like give people real-time information. Like, for example, we're enthusiastic about people who might want to play with smart glasses and pair that with, say, phone-based AR, or people who want to try out to do some early stuff with a Meta Ray-Ban display where perhaps there could be information in real-time shown on the display screen. If you're in a climate emergency, say, what happened with floods in Vermont or damage from hurricanes. That doesn't sound very positive or optimistic, but just to make it kind of real. You mentioned our third category, access and equity. For us, we're envisioning projects that center communities most impacted by climate challenges and explore ways for repair and sovereignty and land back. Planetary connection was another category we've shared, and that might be things like that overview effect that I described. And then the final category was around future building and world design. So say that could be experiences that place people 100 years into the future. What would a climate-friendly, more just world feel like? So that's really around world building. But importantly, I just want to emphasize again, we encourage people to bring ideas that they're passionate about. These were categories that we came up with, but we're totally open to other ideas as well.
Awesome. And the final question, love to hear any final thoughts of the ultimate potential of immersive media XR to bring about meaningful change in the world, you know, dreaming into the future of what all this might be able to enable.
I mean, I think ultimately it's a great way to connect people through shared experiences and hopefully optimistic views. I mean, one of the blockers for making change is being able to imagine it. And if we can afford people a vision of what a better future looks like, they might actually build it.
Oh, I love that, Amy. For me, I think so often social challenges are approached through like facts. Like if we could just persuade people through facts that we need to address climate change, or facts can build empathy. What's so powerful about XR is that it's experiential, that it's guttural, that it's visceral. And so I don't think rationality is necessarily the way forward to build progress. I think it's through experiences. So I think like these tools can uniquely give you a sense of connection to the planet and of connection to each other. And that's what I'm just super excited about, that these tools can really build connection and in a funny kind of counterintuitive way, allow you to touch grass. And that's what we're excited about.
Awesome. Well, Chip and Amy, thanks so much for joining me here on the podcast. I'm super excited to see what Agog has been doing with investing into really supporting this industry of immersive storytelling and really helping to build the field in so many different ways. And also just to see that there's the first open call for people to start to submit and collaborate and start to put forth some of their ideas. And so the deadline's June 12th, 11:59 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, the end of the day by June 12th. So, thanks again for joining me here on the podcast to help break it all down.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Ken.
So that was Chip Giller and Amy Seinenworm. We were talking around the open call that Agog is having around climate futures and immersive media. And the deadline is coming up here on June 12th, 2026 at 11:59 Pacific Time. So I have a number of different takeaways about this interview is that, first of all, well, just the fact that each person as you're submitting for this has to come up with their own theory of change around how can you start to create immersive media and then either have behavioral changes for people as they're going out or just informing people at a cultural level, but then can you take action at a political sphere and changing law or policy or other ways that people can change their consumer behaviors of how they're relating to some of these companies that may be some of the worst offenders, or can you have those companies change their behaviors in some way? So the economic sphere, and then the final technological architecture and code, that's, you know, in Lessig's model, there's the culture, the laws, the economy, but then the technological architecture and code, that's kind of where the immersive media starts to come in, where you can create these immersive media experiences within these larger contexts and then have some sort of way that people are engaging with those. But you kind of have to have your own theory of change. In my previous episode, I start to dive into my own personal theories of change, how I start to conceptualize of that. But you have to have some way of starting to understand, conceptualize, measure, and demonstrate to Agog that there is some sort of like change that's happening. So there's been a series of the last three episodes, including this one, that's digging into some of these questions around how do you start to measure or quantify different aspects of change. For me, I take a very phenomenological approach. And I think similarly, when I read what Agog is saying in terms of like, when you look at climate communications, there's a certain way that it can often feel, as they say, quote, technical, abstract, or overwhelming. That's kind of like the abstractions of the mind and the air element. And then there's other aspects of how immersive media creators are creating emotional proximity, embodiment, and connection. So different ways that you have this visceral embodied experience that actually brings about change. You know, from a process philosophy perspective, everything comes down to the emotions and this level of satisfaction. And so there's this prehensive integration of anticipating the future of what's possible and then integrating the past of what's actual, but then also kind of integrating different aspects of your own agency, your creativity, your will, your desires. And so how do you fuse together all these elements together, which is a bit of what I'll be digging into here in a couple of weeks with the philosophy of experiential design from a process philosophy perspective, starting to integrate all these kind of Whiteheadian ideas. So anyway, yeah, so this is an open call. It's open until June 12th, 2026, 11:59 p.m. Pacific time. So check out some of the resources. There's a VR chat discussion. Also, Agog had like a open Q&A that was happening on June 3rd today. So you can go check out the recording of that to get a little bit more information. So that's all I have for today. And I just wanted to thank you for listening to the Voices of VR podcast. And if you enjoy the podcast, then please do spread the word, tell your friends, and consider becoming a member of the Patreon. This is a listener-supported podcast. And so I do rely upon donations from people like yourself in order to continue to bring you this coverage. So you can become a member and donate today at patreon.com/voicesofvr. Thanks for listening.